Shot Andrew, awesome to be with you and such a privilege just to share the word with you this evening. Great to have you guys and just see what God is doing over here. I just listening to the words that have come is just for me, you know, so reassuring of God speaking and Him leading us, you know. That word is like that Andrew brought this just as the tithes teaching or whatever you'd call it, stewardship teaching, is quite a sobering thing that we could just be, you know, in that place of doing what we've been doing and the Lord's going to come and we're going to be caught just carrying on being vile, carrying on doing these things that are not like Him. And we've got that opportunity now to actually come right before the Lord and be those people that are different. That's a very sobering word. I don't know about you. I think I could just sit down and we can go home after that word and just process that word. But I'd love to just hold that in our thoughts. Because I think that's, you know, that is what God is saying. Actually, we could carry on doing what we're doing, you know, or we can be a true follower of Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about, being a true follower of Jesus. And, there's a follower of Jesus was really called a disciple of Jesus. And you know, if we look, most people, or in probably in the people that we associate with, call themselves Christians. Isn't that so? There's like at least, you know, most of the people, there's the in the old days, I mean, 20, 30 years back, everybody marked off Christian on whatever they put on the, you know, a form that you had to fill out. But the word Christian is only mentioned three times in the New Testament. Three times in the New Testament. And a believer is only mentioned about 10 times. But a disciple is mentioned over 260 times. So are we just someone that professes to follow Jesus, does the right things? Are we truly a follower of Jesus? I'm going to just lift this up a little bit. I don't know about you, but when I gave my life to the Lord, just think back for you. When you gave your life to the Lord, what happened inside of you? What desires stirred inside of you when you first gave your life to the Lord? Give it a thought. If I had to think about it, something for me, I wanted to please Him. There was something, there was like a deposit inside of me that actually I wanted to do what He wanted me to do. The stuff that I got stuck in and the stuff that I realized there was a conviction of His Holy Spirit in me that actually drew me away. There was a recognition that that stuff does not please Him. And then there was this turning away to do what He wanted me to do. And that's every day of my life. I don't know who can sort of identify with it and say, when Jesus met me, this is what happened. You know, the stuff that I was stuck in, the stuff that I liked to do, the pleasure that I derived from that stuff just became distasteful for me. And I had to move away from that stuff to please the Lord. And so there was like this, it's actually the grace of God that happens. When that happens, it's the grace of God that's leading you out of sin and into relationship with Him. And that's part of the actually being a disciple of Jesus. So what actually happened to me? If you think about that, what happened to each one of us? And for those of you who haven't had that, this is what he can do. This is what he does do. And it says there's a deposit of his spirit. You know, the Bible actually speaks about his seed inside of us. Like you consider a family and you've got the parents. There's something of the likeness of that child, of a likeness to his parents. They look like their child. And in John 1 John 3 verse 9, short Callum, those who have been born into God's family. Have you got it? Okay. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life, that word is seed, his seed is in them. So they cannot keep on sinning because they are children of God. And so we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. It says, anyone who does not live righteously, does not love other believers, does not belong to God. And so there's the seed that God puts in us when we accept him that actually moves us away from sin, causes us not to stay in sin. We might sin, but we want to get out of that place as soon as possible, and we want to come to him. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21 says that it is God who enables us along with you. Just think about it. God enables you. This Christian walk is not about you doing your best. You know, I laugh whenever I think of that. I've got a friend who said, you know, I asked him, like, what do you do for a living? Nee, ek doen my best. Yeah, he like tries his best. We're not living that life where we are just trying to do our best, because he enables us. And if we correctly see Jesus, he enables you to live the life that he's calling you to live. And so it says, along with you to stand firm in Christ, he has commissioned us and he has identified us as his own, placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a first installment that guarantees everything he has promised. Okay, so we've been given the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing everything that he has promised us. Okay. He hasn't promised us a Mercedes Benz and all these other things that many people preach about. He's promised us eternal life, and he's promised us something of his glory. Something of his glory, of us showing his glory. About us, actually, that glory is being, it transforms us to be more like him. That's what we actually partakers in his glory, because there's God works in our lives and we change and we become something that people look and say, there's something of Christ in that person. I see Christ there. You know, we say, like father, like son. Because when we know that when you see a son, he's got characteristics of the father. And there's something about when you think about, or when you look at a child, there's something, he looks like the parent. He possibly even speaks like the parent and possibly even acts like the parent. You know, one time it was 16 years ago, my daughter was 4 years old, and she's 20 now. But when she was 4 years old, I don't know if you've ever had those shells where you could put sand or water in, and it's got four little seats, and the little kids can sit over there and swim and play. Anybody? I'm probably going to say, anybody played in one of those? So Kegwin was making supper. I was working in the lab, and she had a friend over. And so she was engaged in conversation with her friend, and they were playing over there. Then she invited her to sit down. Now, understand, Kegs had been, at that stage we weren't full-time, but I was eldering in the life of the church. I was running my own business, and then, Kegs was also doing a lot of counseling with ladies, a lot of just working into their lives at that stage. And so our little Rebecca over there sits down and invites her friend of 4 years to sit down over there. And she sits down opposite her and engages her with this question. And she says, "So, what is your problem?" And, contemplating life at 4 years old. This is something else. But before, I think this other four-year-old was just so, like, bewildered by this question. She didn't know what to say. But before she could even say something, our daughter blurted out. She said, she straight away went to her side. She said, "You know what my problem is? I speak too much." So, don't go too deep on that counseling. I hope there wasn't any trauma that my daughter had because of that. But the reality is our children act the way they imitate us. And this is what following Christ is like. There's an imitation of Christ. You're imitating Christ. There's something of a desire inside of you to imitate who God is. And he puts that inside of you. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love. Follow the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." And so I'd like to go to, we need to imitate him. That's my point there. I want to move on to the next one. 1 Timothy 1 verse 16. I think it's interesting just talking about that word that Andrew had over there. How we live shows if we truly know God and follow him. How we live now shows whether we know God and whether we follow him. And you know what? That can change. That can change now. Tonight, you can make a decision to follow him completely. It doesn't have to be like this forever. This is, and I want you to see it in the scripture. 1 Timothy 1 verse 16 says, "Such people claim to know God, but deny him by the way that they live." Okay, and they are detestable, disobedient, worthless for anything good, for doing anything good. Those are harsh words. But the reality is that if we know God, we follow him. We truly do follow him, and we know him. And, how many times have we seen people who call themselves believers, but actually in their actions, you realize actually they're not believers. They might even be preachers. They might run churches. They might be doing great works of humanitarian work and call themselves a believer. But their actions and how they live their life is nothing like a believer should be. What happens in us? What happens in us? There is a transformation in each one of us. As we come to Jesus, he transforms us. We don't have to do this by ourselves. There's not this like positive thinking that we have to over and over state this thing and become this better person. No, Jesus does it. I want to share with you Romans 8 verse 29, that he has chosen you to become like Christ. Let me say that again. He has chosen you to become like Christ. And Romans 8 verse 29, it says, we know that God causes everything to work together. And we know the scripture. God causes everything to work together for those that love him. Okay? For the good of those who love God and are called according to the purpose, called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance. God knows you in advance. And he chose you, it says, chose them to become like his son. This is for you and me. He's chosen us to become like Jesus, so that the son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. In other words, you and me. Okay? And having chosen them, he called them to himself. Having called them, he gave them right standing with himself, and given them right standing, he gave them his glory. He gave us his glory. I want you to hear that. What is that? We live in part of that glory. And as we change from one degree of glory to the next, there's a progression to that glory where we will reflect him and show him, where we will be free of sin completely, where we will be radiant in our holiness, where we will reflect the beauty and the nature of Jesus. That will be when we are fully reflecting Jesus. But at the moment, there's a progression for us where we become more like Christ, where he's actually chosen us to become more like Christ. And every day actually is a day where we become more like Christ, where there's more of his glory that comes into our lives, where people can see, actually, that, you know what, Roger was like that back then when he was pulling those ships into the harbor, but he's changed, you know. There's something there's a progression, and there should be, even at your age, Rog, even at your age, God is still working. He's not perfect. Until the day he meets the Lord, God is going to be changing him and every one of us. And it is his intent to transform us. It's not our intent. It's his intent that's going to transform us. You know, that something that the glory of God and just what he's done in our lives reflects to other people, and people see that. In 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, it talks about Moses who came down and he had to put a veil over his face. He met with the Lord and he had to come, and because he didn't want that, his face was shining, he put a veil over his face. And, you know, I want to read that 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. It says, you know, that veil basically talks about not seeing him. There's a veil of not seeing him and not reflecting him. And actually, God's called us to take off the veil, or to see him who he really is, to be able to see Jesus and reflect him. It says in verse 16, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, here's your key on this journey. Whenever someone turns to the Lord, you can turn to the Lord, even tonight, you can turn to the Lord in these areas and say, it says, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's his plan for us. Those who the Son sets free is free indeed. For all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. So if that veil is taken off, we can see Jesus. How does that veil come off? When we turn to the Lord. When we turn to the Lord, the veil is taken off, and we can see And we can see him and we can reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we change into his glorious image. He makes us more and more like him. And so there's this, as we come to him, as we turn to the Lord, the veil falls off and we see Jesus and we are able to reflect him. And the Lord, it says, makes us more and more like him. And that's this progression that we are on. But not only that. In Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13, it says, it talks about giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So if you think you don't have the desire to even do this, and or the power to do this, it says that he gives you that desire. So not only if you turn away does he transform you, but he gives you the desire. And it says, and the power, he says in Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And so, you know, this, we're coming up to power through position. But you know what? We are all on this journey. And even after this week, we are still on this journey of actually reflecting the glory of God. If we haven't surrendered to Christ, if we haven't allowed him and seen him, and we don't see him, and that veil is taken off, we can't reflect him. We'll be religious. We'll just, you know, surround ourselves with good people, and we can, you know, look good on the outside, but deep down we know we're going to continue doing what we have been continually doing, as that Revelation 22 talks about, you know. And when he comes, I mean, that's such a, for me, that's... It's a hectic thing. I've just thinking about that. You know, why did even, you know, the Germans in that time, in the people, why did they continue to be so harsh, and continue to do that? You know, it's a scary thought that one nation, you know, you can have people that are high moral then doing stuff that is so evil to another nation. And you think about that. What would I do in that situation? It's a deep question. And we are able to be changed by God if we're going to come to him. If we're going to just sit and be in this place of just, I'm a believer, I love the Lord, but I'm not changing. There's got to be transformation. There's got to be transformation. If you look at your life and our lives, there's got to be a visible transformation. It cannot stay the same. You know, John Newton, he said about himself, he said, I am not what I ought to be. Okay, let me give you a bit of history. For those of you who don't know John Newton, he was a slave trader in the 1700s. And a slave trader would basically be a murderer. He'd go and steal people and sell people. And so this is what, that was his job. And he basically murdered people. And it says that, well, he came to know the Lord. He gave his life to the Lord in about 1748. And from that moment, it changed. And he actually wrote the song Amazing Grace that we all sing. He wrote that in about 770, somewhere around. But there was a transformation in his life. That's my point. There was a transformation. And he summed it up like this. He says, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be in another world, but I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. Transformation has got to be evident in our lives. There's got to be a transformation in our lives. As God touches our lives, as there's the wow in our lives about who God is, there's got to be transformation. But you know what? The exciting thing is that He empowers us to even in that place come to Him. He empowers us even to have the strength to do that and the desire to do that. I mean, He's done it all for us. There's nothing. Even Patrick came with a word about, you know, Jesus being our everything. In Him is everything we need. And that's exactly it. We can't do it by ourselves. We need Him. The Father, and I want to read this to you, the Father has chosen you to become like Jesus. He's chosen you to become like Jesus. He has given you that desire and the power to do what pleases Him, so that you can actually carry some of His glory more and more. Isn't that like, that is such a profound thought, that He actually enables me to look like Him. I don't have to try and strive in this thing. He enables me.